Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we have a very special program for you, and we are taking a live teaching that I did from our Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And I'm teaching on Don't Limit God 10 years after God spoke that to me, January the 31st, 2002. So with a 10-year perspective, I tell you, it has changed everything in my life. And I believe that this is not something that is just for me. It's for every one of you. All of us limit God. It's like we just think small compared to God. And I can give you a personal testimony that since I took the limits off of God, my life, my ministry, everything in this ministry is radically changed. And I believe that God wants to do the same thing for you. So I believe that this teaching is really going to be a blessing. Let me mention again that we have a lot of new product. I have CDs that cover this brand new teaching on Don't Limit God times 10. I've got a live DVD recording from the Phoenix Seminar, and then we have an As Seen on Television recording of these exact same things. Plus, you get this little sticker that says Don't Limit God. It's a static clean sticker that you can peel off, and it just sticks anywhere, and it's a constant reminder. So we'll give this information out at the end of the program. Now we're going to go into our program and watch this live teaching from Phoenix, Arizona on Don't Limit God times 10. God flows through people. If you look hard enough, somebody was praying, somebody was believing, somebody was doing something. God flows through people. It's not God that moves in waves. People will talk about that there was the healing revival and the waves, and then there was the charismatic move, and then there was the word of faith move, and they blame God as if God, who's the one who comes in waves and pours something out and then retreats and lets a generation just languish. That's not the way that God is. God is wanting every single person to walk in His fullness. God isn't the one who comes in waves and moves and things like that. God doesn't do that. Now, those things happen, but not because God wills it. It's because that's the way that we receive. For instance, in the healing revival, the church had lost the truth of healing. And then there were some people like Oral Roberts and other people who just pressed in and they sought God. And if you read their testimonies, I've talked to Oral Roberts and I've read some of his books. Oral Roberts, it didn't come upon him. He pursued it. I remember Oral Roberts talking about his very first meeting he held, and he was so sick and tired of seeing the powerlessness in the body of Christ and the lack of healing that he just said, I'm not going to live this way. He says, either the word is true and God does miracles today, or I'm going to quit serving God and quit playing the game of being a pastor. And so he went out and rented a building. He had three things that he asked God. I may miss some of this, but he asked for an exact number of people. And before the service started, he stood behind the curtain and counted, and they had exactly the number of people that he asked for. He said, I have to have exactly this much money to cover the expenses of this meeting. I'm not going to go in debt. If you can't pay for this, I'm not going to pay for it. And so he took up an offering, and before he got up and preached, he had them count the offering. And if I'm not mistaken, he had $3 more than the exact amount he had put down. And then the third thing, he says, I want to see a notable miracle. So he got up and preached a message and went down and prayed for a woman. And I forget exactly what the healing was, but it was totally miraculous. And it meant those three criteria. But see, he had to fight through unbelief and things. And then when that happened, he caught on fire, and other people, Branham and others, they began to preach it. And there was the healing movement. And people say, God moved in this great healing movement. God's wanting to move in healings all of the time, but most people won't pursue it the way that those people did. And they broke through in this area of healing and started seeing the healing power of God come, but then they didn't break through in some other areas. And it wasn't God who only poured out healing. It was people who just, it's like there was this veil and they just penetrated it in that area and let this power of God come through, God would have poured out the word movement and the righteousness movement and the charismatic movement and the baptism of the Holy. He'll pour it all out at one time if we had received it that way. But just every once in a while, somebody gets sick and tired of being sick and tired and starts believing God, and then the power of God gets poured out in that area, and they say, oh, God's doing a new thing. No, God's doing the same thing He's wanted to do for 2,000 years. It's not God that had the church go through the dark ages. That was the body of Christ that perished for a lack of knowledge, not knowing what the Word of God says. So again, I'm saying that God wants to move. He wants to bring you into your promised land. God is wanting to do things in your life that makes you wake up every morning just thinking, God, this is absolutely awesome. You are awesome. What a privilege to be a part of what you're doing. That's the way He wants you to live. And yet most people wake up and think, oh man, it's morning. Wished I could go back to bed. Oh, it's Monday and I've got to go to work. Or you'll come in and say, oh, TGIF. I was walking through our break room one day and I heard one of our employees go, he was a young guy, about 20 years old, and he came in and he says, TGIF. And I said, what does that mean? And he says, thank God it's Friday. And I said, what's so good about Friday? And he says, well, it's the last day of the work week. I'm off tomorrow. He says, I don't have to go to work. And I said, do you not like working here? I said, I could fix it that you don't have to work here. And he said, oh, no, I like working here, but I just really enjoy my week. And I said, you know what? There's 100 people that would like your job. And I said, if you don't like working here, I could just fix it so that you every day could be Friday for you. Boy, he started backpedaling, and he didn't mean anything by it. But you know what? I just think, if you're the kind that gets up and, oh, it's Monday and I've got to go back to work, and then you get excited on Friday because you don't have to work, you hadn't found God's will for your life. I know some of you think, oh, brother, this is a little abnormal. That's one of the ways you limit God. You are working some dead-end job, and you're doing it because I've got to have this pension, and I've got to have job security. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. And every day, time is clicking by. And if you haven't done something that just winds you up, fulfills you, makes you feel like, man, what a blessing of God in my life, then you have burned a day off of your life. You've wasted a day. God's got a purpose for you, and when you find it, God didn't call every one of us to be like what I'm doing, being on television or standing in front of people, but God called every one of you for something special that will make your life just full of joy and peace, and if you aren't there, you are wasting time. It will be fulfilling. Some of you are praying, and I just don't understand why I'm depressed. You should be depressed. You aren't doing what God called you to do. And there is no joy when God's pulling you this direction and you're going this way because this is what everybody in my family's done for generations. And if I was to just turn it over to God, He might send me to Africa. And so I'm not going to turn it all over to God. I'm taking this way. This is my logic. And I guarantee you, you aren't going to find joy and fulfillment. You know, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina a few years back, and a man always has me come minister to his staff. He's got a business with about 30 employees. And anyway, I went back and spoke to the employees, and I've done it for many, many years. And I came out, and there was a new girl at the reception desk. She was an Oriental lady. And when I saw her, I said, you weren't back with the other employees. And she says, no, I'm the new person, and they wanted me to answer the phones while everybody else was back there. She says, are you the one that spoke? And I said, yes. And she says, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And she says, for who? And I said, well, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, you're the one. And I said, the one what? And she was I'm not sure, is either Buddhist or Hindu, one of those religions. And she said that the previous night she was going through all of her rituals, and she knew that there was a God, but she just didn't believe that Buddha or, you know, whoever it was the true God. And she just stopped in the middle of her ritual and she says, "God, I know you exist, but there's got to be more to you than this." And she says, "Would you reveal yourself to me and let me know who the true God is?" And she just prayed that prayer. And she says, all of a sudden, there was this ball of light in front of her just pulsating. And she knew that she was in the presence of God. And she had a voice come to her and says, "Tomorrow I'll send you a man who tells you who I am." And then she looked at me and she says, "You're the one." And I said, "I am the one." Amen. And I got to lead that woman to the Lord, and she got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And I tell you what, when I walked out of there and got in that car, you talk about a sense of satisfaction and joy like, God, I was in the right place at the right time. And there was such a peace and a joy and a satisfaction knowing that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. Some of you don't have that because you aren't where you're supposed to be, because you're taking the safe route. You're shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. You've been taught that I've just got to be logical and I've got to do things, you know, according to the way everybody else in your family's done it or whatever. And you're limiting God by that. I'm telling you, God made every one of you in here to be a leader. Now, again, that can vary according to the specific call, but if you got God in your life, if you have God Almighty living on the inside of you, He's got a purpose for your life that is going to cause you to accomplish things and influence people in a way that it will spread and touch people's lives. And there are many of you in here that you aren't influencing people for a positive. Your life's not accomplishing anything. And I'm not saying this to be a downer to you or to be a discouragement, but I'm saying that is not God. If you're born again, God's living on the inside of you. He's got something important for you to do. And many people are just missing it. And so I've said all of this to say that God doesn't just sovereignly make things work. If your life isn't an absolute joy, and if you aren't excited about it and have enthusiasm about it and where you're going and what God is doing, you've missed God. You're limiting God. And you may not even know that you're doing it. You know, this is one of the very first things that happened when the Lord spoke this to me 10 years ago. I honestly had no idea I was limiting God. And this, 10 years ago, this would have been 34 years after God touched my life and I had been serving God. I had seen three people raised from the dead, including my own son. The son that's with us here at these meetings was dead for 5 hours and came back from the dead. No brain damage, no more than he had before. I'd seen people raised from the dead. I'd seen blind eyes open. I'd seen miracles happen. Our ministry had just doubled. January the 3rd of 2000 is when I started our television ministry. And from January the 3rd of 2000 until January of 2002, our ministry doubled. I even had a man come to me in the summer of 2001 and prophesy. And he says, "God is about to increase your ministry. You're going to take off and you're going to see a phenomenal growth." And he was a friend of mine, so I didn't say anything to him. But when I went home, I thought, boy, he missed it. He's about a year and a half late. If he would have prophesied that to me in 99, then that would have been right. But you just missed it. You don't know how much we've grown. And within a few months, God spoke to me about how I was limiting him. And I had no clue. I honestly thought I was believing big. And you know, part of that comes, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know, this is so clear in Scripture that you should not measure yourself by other people. And yet, brothers and sisters, I bet you every person sitting in this room limits God by comparing yourself with other people. I've already used some of those examples, but many of you have grown up and instead of the Word of God controlling and dominating your thought, you look at your parents, you look at your grandparents, you watch television. You hear that, you know what, if you're over 40, that this is your increase of this has happened and this has happened. And you go to expecting because this is what the people that don't know God are experiencing. And we just take it as, well, this is the way that it is. And it's not unusual. I expect to start getting stoved up by the time I'm 50 or 60. And I can't do. And you know what? You start limiting God by comparing yourselves among yourselves. You look around, and because there's a quote-unquote recession on, you expect to have problems. And you know what? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In Colorado Springs, I don't know the exact number, but there's hundreds of parachurch ministries. And when this quote-unquote recession happened in 2008... the ministries, many of them, we have access to knowing people on the board or knowing the leaders of these ministries, and the vast majority of them decreased their budget, their projections for what the income, the revenue, by 15 to 25% before a single decrease in revenue happened. They were anticipating it because the world was having problems. So they went to anticipating problems and believing for it and planning for it. And guess what? It came to pass. But during that exact same time, did you know that our finances have just flourished? We're in a $47 million building program that we're going to do debt-free. And we are well on our way to having it all paid for debt-free. Our income is just going up like a rocket during a time of recession, because you know what? We just decided not to participate. God said He'd supply our need according to His riches and glory. You do not have to have your finances dictated to by the world. Jamie and I have a little bit of money. Her father died and we got an inheritance and we put it with a friend of ours and invested it in the stock market. And did you know when the stock market went down 50%, at the end of 2008, in beginning of 2009, we increased that money in the stock market 61% increase during a 50% downturn. Some of you are saying, who's your investor? You've missed my point. Matter of fact, our investor even called us in and talked to us, and he says, all of my clients are doing good, but he says, your investments, and it's the exact same guy, and he says, I'm doing the same thing with everybody, and your investments are outpacing everybody else's. And the investor can't understand why we're prospering. I know some of you, I'm saying this in love, but you're too carnal to believe that that's true. You think, no, everything, there's a natural reason, there's something. No, it's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God. It's because we're believing God. I'm telling you that some of you don't believe that, and you're saying, no, that's a bad economy, and I've got to cut back, and I can't expect to prosper. That's limiting what God can do in your life. There's some of you that cut back your giving because you anticipated having a problem, so you cut back on your giving. That's the worst thing you should have done. You should have cut back on your debt or cut back on your spending, but not your giving. Man, you need to increase your giving. But you know what? That most people don't think that way, and because of it, it limits what God can do. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so with me, 10 years ago, I thought I was really believing God. And compared to where I had been and compared to other people, you know what? I was doing good compared. But it's not wise to compare yourself with other people. God's got a purpose for your life. And it doesn't matter if everybody else in your family has always been a loser. That doesn't dictate what's going to happen to you unless you believe that it's in your genes to be a loser. It doesn't matter if everybody else is suffering in the economy. That doesn't mean that you have to suffer unless you believe that you have to suffer, and then that will limit God. Comparing yourself among yourself, measuring yourself by the world, is the wrong measurement. You know, I try not to watch a lot of TV, and most of the news that I get is on the radio because it comes in 2-minute bites and you can't do a lot of damage in 2 minutes. But even listening to the news on the radio in two minutes, they still say a lot of junk. And one of the things they'll come out and say, it's flu season. Has everybody gotten your flu shot? Did you know that there's a new strand of flu? And they'll go to saying that. And most people will let what's happening in the world affect them and think, well, I'm only human. If you think that way, you're going to get the flu. But if you think that, you know what, no plague will come nigh my dwelling based on Psalms chapter 91, that there is no season where the Word of God doesn't work, and praise God, I'm going to walk in supernatural health. If you would go to think that way, it'd change things. But most of us listen to the sewage of this world come through, and we hear what the world is experiencing, and you go to expecting to get sick. After all, I'm only human. Well, I'm not only human. 1/3 of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. 1/3 of me is saved. And I should not be getting the same stuff that the world is getting. You shouldn't be comparing yourself to this world. You shouldn't be looking at these things. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this politely, but it's just ignorance. It's stupid. Amen? For those of you that are too insecure to accept that, it's your lack of knowledge that's the problem. That's the politically correct way to say it, but in Texas, it's just you're stupid. How dumb can you get and still breathe? My dad died when he was 54, and he actually died 12 years before that and was raised from the dead. So he actually died when he was 42. And he was invalid my entire life. Never was able to throw a ball or do anything. And he died when he was 54 years old, when I was 12 years old. And did you know, because of that, they say that it's hereditary to have heart problems. That's what he died of. And hardening of the arteries, high blood pressure, and all of these kind of things. And they speak that over people. You know, one of the very first things I did was cancel that curse and pray and broke the curse. And I don't care what happened to my dad, it's not going to happen to me. My mother lived to be 96 years old and was strong as a horse until 94. And why don't they ever talk about that? They'll never say, well, those good genes from your mother are going to help you. No, it's all, they'll look at the worst case scenario and pronounce the worst possible thing over you. And most people will sit there and live their entire life as, well, my dad had heart problems, and so I guess I'll have. And you know what? That limits the healing that God wants in your body, because you're comparing yourself with your parents. You're comparing yourself with other people. And it limits God. Ignorance limits God. Most people do not let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. This is the way it's been in my family, and we've always had this. You need to change the way you believe.
It was January 31st, 2002. Andrew had been on television for just over 2 years, seeing modest growth in the ministry and in the student body at Caris Bible College. It was then he received a revelation that changed everything. He saw that he'd been limiting God by small thinking, and he determined to change his ways. Immediately, the ministry began to grow. Finances, staff, telephone, and the mail ministry multiplied. Soon, the little 13,000-square-foot building on Robinson Street in Colorado Springs was no longer sufficient to meet the needs. The TV studio had to be dismantled to make room for more students. Port-a-johns were set up to handle the demand for facilities. Andrew began to take the limits off God. A 110,000-square-foot warehouse on Elkton Drive was purchased, requiring $3 million to finish. Andrew's ministry partners rallied.
Jamie and I want to thank you for being our partners. I tell you, God has done so many miracles in our life, and the best is yet to come, but we couldn't do any of this without you, our partners. I tell you, we've long since passed the place where we could finance this ministry.
18 months later, the building was completed and paid for through extra donations above the cost of operations. In 2004, the staff and student body entered their new home. Today, a short decade after his revelation about small thinking, the ministry and Charis Bible College are once again bursting at the seams. The parking lots are beyond capacity. Classrooms are once again overflowing. One solution is to limit enrollment, limit the size of the ministry and outreach, limit parking spaces, limit the number of lives that will be changed by the truth of God's Word. Or we can follow Andrew in his determination to take the limits off God. 157 acres of prime property in Woodland Park have been purchased at pennies on the dollar. Architectural plans have been funded and completed for the new campus, accommodating up to 3,000 students, and a construction phase is ready to begin. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, Wrong Beliefs Limit God. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.